Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Good morning, everybody. Thursday. Derek, how quickly will a bad football game get you away from football to go watch another sporting event?
Easily.
Easily? Okay.
If I don't have to cover the team for a certain radio network, I'm out. All right. If I'm not out with friends or like we're planning on watching a game together and I'm just by myself, hilariously easy.
All right, this makes me feel a lot better. I'm thinking about Thursday Night Football, Rams, 49ers. The 49ers' entire roster's injured.
I sometimes just don't watch Thursday Night Football knowing it's going to be bad.
Right, and I'm like, I care way more about the baseball right now. I got my wish. I got multiple games going to game or multiple series going to game three. And I'm like, I don't really care what happens with Rams, 49ers. I'll check in on it, don't get me wrong.
That is what
But, I'm like, I have zero desire to watch that game.
Tonight?
Zero desire.
Tonight? That's what Twitter's for.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll get my highlights from Twitter. I'll get my no-look pass from Stafford on Twitter.
I don't ever want to be accused of being a liar. Yeah, that's what Twitter's for tonight.
Puka Nacua hitting 15 catches again or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, that'll just be Joe texting me.
Yeah.
But he's doing his...
I have been locked into the baseball. Like last night... Yankees, Red Sox, I was making dinner for me and my girlfriend, and the TV's off to the side. I can't really see it from the kitchen. And I had to repeatedly kind of do, like, laps just to see real quick, like, what was going on. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I want to see what's happening.
In my continuance,
it's close.
In my continuance to not lie to you, I am the idiot that watched the Sabres preseason game more than the Yankees.
That's okay. I have, like you said, like with covering the team, that's fine. I was just so locked in to Yankees, Red Sox. I loved the baseball yesterday. Guardians, Tigers was real close up until the eighth when the Guardians just went off on a run. I think they scored 5 runs in the eighth.
Yeah.
Padres, Cubs a little close. I mean, it kind of stayed close even to the end. Padres won that 3-0. And then, yeah, Yankees, Red Sox. I feel bad. I didn't watch a second of Dodgers, Reds. I just had really no desire. I wasn't on the Cincinnati Reds. I know there were a few people that were. I never really thought they had much of a shot against the Dodgers. I know, at least from what I've read, the Dodgers' bullpen is a little shaky. But I'm like, yeah, their talent, though, is ridiculous. We're going to have to wait probably till the NLDS or the NLCS to really see them get challenged. They're playing the Phillies, though, starting this weekend. But I've loved the baseball. And tonight it continues. And I do say tonight because we don't have those 1 p.m. start times now.
We got Guardians, a slight bump back.
Yeah, Tigers, Guardians at 3, Padres, Cubs at 5, and then at 8 is Yankees, Red Sox. Baseball should be great today. We'll talk with Sal coming up at 11 as well, get his thoughts. I mean, the season's still alive, baby. Still
it's
there.
It's got to be tough for Padres fans.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, what is that? What would that be then for them? Two-ish? One-ish?
Probably two or one-ish. But also, Cleveland and Detroit have been dealing with that for the last 2 days anyway.
Right.
So I guess I don't feel as... bad. Wait, what were their start times? Yes.
Well, Cleveland Guardians, they Cleveland and Tigers, they were the 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Padres Cubs usually was the 3 o'clock game.
Oh my God. So you're looking at 11 a.m. baseball for Padres fans the last 2 days?
Yeah, it's tough.
So today is actually really good respite.
Yeah, like today's actually better for them.
I get to watch baseball at a normal time.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Week 5, though, does get underway tonight in the NFL. We have mentioned it. Thursday Night Football. You can listen to that right here on WGR starting at about 7:30 with the pregame between the Rams and the 49ers. San Francisco, a ton of injuries, most notably two of their top receivers, Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, and of course quarterback Brock Purdy. Mac Jones will get the start. For the Bills, speaking of injuries, much better news from yesterday. Spencer Brown, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver, all returning to practice for the first time in a while, I think from Ed Oliver. I saw this from Matt Perino, who's a friend of the show and friend of the station. First time Oliver practiced since September 10th. We'll see if that means he's going to play this week. I know I was listening with Sal earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Mm-hmm. Kind of mentioned he's probably the most questionable of the three to maybe be able to play. But it's a good sign he's limited to start the week.
Right.
And at least a really good sign that even if he doesn't play this week, next week is – you imagine you'd see just full practice, and he's up.
And at minimum, I'm talking the bare minimum, at minimum, you're going to get these players after the bye week.
Mm-hmm. Jackson Hawes was a late addition to the injury report. Everyone else on this was previously notified from head coach Sean McDermott with the media. Jackson Hawes, though, appears to pick up an ankle. He was limited as well. And then just one player not practicing, that being linebacker Dorian Williams with a knee injury. Didn't sound like there was anything crazy to that. Don't know. We'll touch base with Sal on Dorian Williams and the rest of the injuries as well. But for, you know, looking around the league, Derek, at how many other injuries are just riddling teams. We talk about Baltimore and kind of how lost their season already feels a month in. They've got the Texans and the Rams coming up next. It could be Cooper Rush for these next two games. I know Lamar Jackson did not practice yesterday, but there is still sort of this rumbling feeling that he's going to try to fight through it, what have you. We'll see if that happens. I mean, if they go 1-5 due to these injuries, you've already seen that a little bit with the Chiefs, with the Xavier Worthy stuff, the Chargers losing both their tackles, at least for a little while. Joe Alt will be coming back this year from the high ankle sprain. Rashad Slater will not. It's just, it seems to be just ravaging everybody. And I do wonder, I saw Pete Prisco of CBS Sports mentioning this too, of just how much is not playing in the preseason and training camps ultimately being less intense,
right,
than they were 15, 20 years ago. I don't have the numbers on this. I think it's just an interesting thought of how much is that playing into now a lot more soft tissue injuries, a lot more, you know, just long-term injuries for these guys. I don't know how much it plays into it, especially with all the sports science going around. I feel like a lot of these people would kind of be at the forefront of, like, actually they need to get more playing time. But I don't know.
I was going to go on the opposite of, and it just has to do with it. My sense is it's just because these players are getting bigger and faster, and the soft tissue is still soft tissue.
Mm-hmm.
If you overexert it, it's going to strain or sprain or tear. And no amount of working out muscle building will save you from that disaster, I guess, so to say, if you're playing a physical sport like this. That's just what it is. You have players running faster than they ever could. Jeremy and Joe were talking about it with the quarterback runs.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan hit 19 miles an hour.
Matt Ryan, of all people?
Matt Ryan.
And it was at the end of his career. It wasn't even when he was 25.
Right. It just goes to my point of bigger, faster, stronger. And it's something that the best projections still cannot pin down. And that is because the human body is not used to moving like this. On average. But it is interesting you bring up the injury luck thing. Because for years, we've heard about like how all the Bills have terrible luck with injuries. Now, there's not many years that you see the Bills have a DNP list of like five or more players on it for more than a couple weeks at a time. Baltimore is dealing with that right now.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco deals with it almost on a yearly basis.
It feels like every year for them.
Like seasons are ruined by injury, and the Bills have not had that. It helps that the one player avoids injury at all costs, it looks like, but that is me knocking on wood. But it is still this thing of, no, it is just the timing of it, but also, I don't know. Maybe it is the Bills' scheme against certain teams that doesn't work in a proper way, for example. Or that the Chiefs decide that they really spite the city of Buffalo for some reason and just give us the best game that they can play all year in the playoffs every time. Could be that, too.
We hope. You hope.
I mean, I don't. I would actually feel deeply attacked on a personal level by that, and I would be like, who the hell are you, Kansas City?
I mean, when you're going to be one of the great teams, you're going to get everyone's best punch. I feel that way this week. Like, New England is going to want to prove something. Sunday Night Football, Stephon Diggs, yes, is coming back, and that's going to be its own storyline, but Drake May is going to want to prove something.
I will say that this is – we've got a – I don't want to say a problem here in this area, but we definitely still have this adjustment that needs to be made of the Bills either get a sweep pick or a near sweep pick. It's like not out of 10, for example. And too many fans still go, oh, no. Are you going to do this every game this year? Because up until the start of week one, the Bills were favored in every game.
Well, I mean, personally, like, I heard from a lot of people that hated that, that they were favored in every game and that they were one of the favorites. And
welcome to welcome to dealing with a good football team. This is going to be the norm. Get used to it is kind of what I want to say on that. Stop living in the fears that they're going to Jacksonville this with Urban Meyer.
Yeah, you're not dealing with a poverty franchise, you know?
Yeah, you're not. You're not. It's... Ready? It's not the Sabres. You expect this team to win. And even though New England's going to be punchy, New England is going to be difficult. I'd even say more than punchy. North of punchy. I like how Chris said that about the Saints with Plucky. I'm going with north of punchy. So this game might actually be a pain in the butt. But I still expect them to win. It might only be by one score. It might be a bunch of people around the country saying, oh, Bills are fraudulent. Look at who they've played and they have a 5-0 record, blah, blah, blah. I still also expect them to be 5-0. Am I going to be wrong one of these times? Yeah, the NFL. And in the NFL, any given Sunday, things happen.
Bills are 8.5-point favorites.
2-score favorites, again. Tell me this isn't going to end the same way. Frustrating you for 3 quarters. And in the 4th quarter, the Bills play their best football. Probably get bailed out by... Oh, Cameron Johnson's not there to take the bullet this time.
I have heard from a few people. I mean, we took a call, too, about like how lucky it's been. But like, we had a caller call in the afternoon show mentioning, you know, the bet board. And like, we should put a bet down of like, will the Bills get lucky with another roughing the punter penalty in the 4th quarter?
And
they've
had
it 2 times already this year.
And ready?
It has happened twice.
That's the benefit of playing inconsistent or bad teams. They make mistakes like this. The Bills are again playing an inconsistent team. I'm not guaranteeing that there's going to be some sort of mistake that has this happen be like the roughing the kicker penalty sort of thing. But it might be a Ramondre Stevenson fumble. It might be a Drake May pick.
Well, like that's the thing too. Like they play great defense against the Steelers, but they have 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
2 of which are in the red zone.
They allowed 14 points off of 5 turnovers. That's a great performance by their defense, but they lose. Because turnover number 5 does them in. That's a disgusting statement to say, by the way. It's turnover 5 that finally does them in. But that's the thing about inconsistent teams. I don't know what version of the Patriots you're even getting on Sunday. Their highs have been high, but their lows have been low.
I think that's maybe why I'm excited for this game more than the previous 3. Baltimore, I was excited for. It was week one.
It's
the season's getting underway.
It's a good competitor.
Yeah,
it's
great team. And it might decide kind of like the feelings of the season, right? There was an excitement level to that.
And it turned into a top 5 game of the year probably for the season. I don't know, actually. We've gotten some pretty good ones, actually, since. Dallas has decided, hey, we're America's team because we're going to give everyone heart attacks.
They're going to be good games every week. But I like the Patriots matchup mainly because they were the team in the AFC East outside of the Bills, who, as we mentioned, they were favored in every single game coming into the season. They almost unanimous picks to win the AFC East pretty comfortably. But the Patriots, over the other three organizations, or the other two, excuse me, in the AFC East, they were picked to be the fun team, the interesting team, the team to hedge your bets with and go, hey, they're coming. And so far, they're 2-2. They're incredibly flawed. They're very inconsistent. And yet, they are 2-2. They are able to win games. They seem to have their coach and quarterback situation figured out for the long term. Vrabel, you know, X and O's maybe isn't his greatest thing, but in terms of building a culture, in terms of building a very difficult team to beat, there's very few better. Those Tennessee teams were not more talented than most in the NFL. But he had Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and a bunch of dudes willing to go to war. He had Ryan Tannehill playing up to a point, or well, him, Arthur Smith, and you know the group, had Ryan Tannehill playing close to peak Patrick Mahomes level. He was compared in that first year and a half with the Titans to what Mahomes is doing. And so I'm excited to see what there is for the Patriots. If there is still a big difference between the Patriots and the Bills. Because we've talked about it. The Jets are washed away. It's 4 weeks in, but they look lost. And Aaron Glenn in Miami on Monday night looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but there. They don't have a ton of talent. It really is Garrett Wilson and a bunch of guys. I watched Sauce Gardner get cooked by Darren Waller, who was previously a rapper like 2 months ago. And a week and a half ago, you had Dolphins fans talking about if he was a real person or not because they didn't know if he'd actually be playing or not. And then on that, the Dolphins look like they are just trying to wrap this season up. Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer will get fired. They can move on. They can figure things out. And they'll talk in 2026. The Patriots are that one team that might be a curiosity going forward. And I want to see what they look like. I want to see what this lack of a rushing attack for them is against the Bills' seemingly really bad rush defense. I want to see if that's going to continue or if the Patriots are the ones that fall short there. I want to see if Drake May actually has something here. And it's not just, you know, pretty good, but he's more, you know, piling up yards because they can't run the ball. And even still, I mean, Sal brought it up too in this Carolina win they had where they, you know, 42-13. Carolina outgains them in most categories.
And it's in total just, yards, yeah.
It's just takeaways and then special teams plays that really, you know, get the Patriots off and running. It's the first game in a little while here where it feels like we can learn something about this Bills team. Whether it be certain guys are coming back, Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, maybe Ed Oliver, we'll see. But also, it's a team that is maybe going to be punching fairly soon in your weight class. Maybe. It's a strong maybe, but the Saints are another one. I didn't bring them up.
They're at least a step up from competition.
But yeah, like the Saints are kind of an after effect. And even still, like they were able to do fairly well on defense against you. Their rookie safety, I'm blanking on his name, but he looked great.
Jonas Anker.
He had a pick on Allen in the play prior. He had a pass defense. So, I mean, they had some good players, but still it looked like they were outclassed. That when the game got tight, the Bills just didn't make mistakes. And they were able to kind of eventually just wear them down. Really excited to see what James Cook does against this run defense. That has been the calling card right now to start this season for the Patriots. They don't let anyone run the ball on them. Cook, though, going back to Jeremy and Joe's conversation this morning, might be the most exciting running back to watch right now in football. Like him, Bijan, and Bucky Irving?
Probably. Jonathan Taylor should be getting
Taylor. Taylor should probably get his flowers as well.
He's only leading the league in rushing.
But, you know, to that point, though, James Cook is second.
Yeah.
Let's see what they've still got there. And is this another game where we're all sitting here going, let's see if they unleash the passing attack, or is it just going to be the fourth quarter against the Ravens, and that's what we're going to hang our hat on? For me, I saw when they needed to turn it on, they can turn it on. I don't necessarily need to see it every week. I do want to, don't get me wrong, but I also just kind of want to see them stack wins, especially in an AFC that is maybe going to have a down year this year.
I've also seen them do it in the fourth quarter of three of these games. That Kincaid dagger has to happen. It comes with the Allen run the play before. Like, yeah, no, they let the MVP out of the box in the fourth quarter if they need to, the Jets game notwithstanding. And against Miami, same thing. There's the roughing the kicker call. The Bills go ahead and correct it. How do they do it? Well, they get down the field with Allen. So it does seem like, hey, when we need them, we'll let you know. But right now, until we need them, we're not going to go ahead and do too much here and put too much out there. We might want to keep Keon Coleman a little bit more of a secret. We might want to keep the things that we can do with our tight ends.
Well, it was the caller's point yesterday of like wanting to see more guys schemed open. And look, I don't necessarily disagree, but also it's September. I don't want the Bills to be putting a ton of stuff on tape that Kansas City in a few weeks will go, all right, we've seen that, we've seen that, we've seen that.
Philly putting out the fake tush push.
Right, probably wasn't a great idea.
No.
Or it might actually be a great idea because now everyone will be worried that it might be coming.
Reverse okay. psychology
Reverse
there.
Psychology, maybe. I don't know.
Not really. What are my 10th and 11th defenders doing on that play? Not getting into the pile of humanity, that's what.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to have my outside players looking for the outside.
Yeah, but then you still need the pile of humanity. Like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
Now it's lesser and they're going to get the 1 yard. I mean, but they may not get a touchdown off of it like they did.
Yeah, but ready? Be there for the time that they try to get too cute. Because otherwise, they're still probably getting it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, did they really need to do it? Nah, not really. They're still probably going to get those yards. They're ultimately fine. But, I don't need to see the trick plays coming. I don't need to see the flea I like the flea flickers from Chicago. But when you're a good team, you don't usually have to pull that stuff out all the time.
Ben Johnson last year with the Lions, the Jared Goff fake falling down play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you put
that
out
there.
I mean,
that was a good team having fun, though.
I feel like that's different.
It's not like the Bears this year. But
Even against Washington, they were like, now we're going to throw up Jameson Williams throwing a pass here. Oh, it's picked. Oh, no. Like for them, it actually felt like they did get too cute. And I'm a big defender of Ben Johnson. And even that night, I was a big defender of Ben Johnson. But to a certain extent, maybe went too far there.
And the Bills don't necessarily have to get cute. Joe Brady really doesn't call a lot of trick plays. Because the last time we saw him conduct one, Allen got rocked. And a game that they were trying to make a contest again got away from them. Since then, I haven't seen much of it. The only type of trick play we got was ad-libbed when Amari Cooper pitched it back to Josh Allen, who's a psychopath.
Still a fun play.
It's still a fun play. The quarterback just can't be trusted.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Thoughts on the Patriots this week? Are you a little bit more worried for the Patriots than maybe in years past? We'll talk to Sal Capaccio coming up at 11.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. And we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk. All Bills, all Sabres, all the time. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Evan also had some Sabres news from last night. We'll get to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen leaving after one period of lower body injury and appears to be the same one he had been dealing with for much of camp. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
I feel like it's the same. Like, I always feel like they always have a good defense. You know, people kind of, you know, say this, that, and the third about them, but I've watched them and I've been a part of that team for a while. And, you know, seeing them, they're sound. They're going to fly around and, you know, they got guys on the back end that are extremely smart. They keep some active corners. Like, some guys that like to play aggressive, some guys that don't. And that interior, you know, Ed Oliver is a game record if you let him. You know what I'm saying? So, and you got some guys on the end. So, like, they just always had a good team, and it's a really, really good coach team. You know, shout out to Sean McDermott. So, for me, I don't think it's nothing new as far as, like, this year. You know, they're going to be coached well. And it's going to be a test for us. I look forward to it.
Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs, formerly, of course, of the Bills. Give him a little credit. To the defense, a unit that has been very much criticized by Bills fans, Bills media. I think rightfully.
A former Bills player being diplomatic about the Buffalo Bills.
Very, very diplomatic.
They're more
very
at diplomatic. 11.
Ed Oliver may not have been playing this game. He's like, nice game record, man. He's game record. Hadn't played in 3 weeks, but he's a game record.
I mean, that is also not wrong because Ed Oliver still tied for the team lead in tackles for loss after playing one football game.
You a little worried, real quick on him. I've thought about this because right before the season started, yep. I had mentioned I thought Greg Rousseau was going to be the one that really took advantage of Bosa being here, the new additions to the defense, to the interior defensive line and what have you. I thought he would be poised for a breakout year.
Yep.
Through four games, the opposite has been true. He is on pace for his worst year. Sacks, Mike Schoep said this yesterday, and I agree. Sacks are, for the most part, a QB stat. And the teams the Bills have played have been really upfront about getting the ball out quick, running up to the line and getting the ball going quick, and trying to put the Bills on the back foot early. With that being said, though, Rousseau's maybe best attribute is he's a very good run defender. That is really not shown to be the case. He's not getting gashed like Joey Bosa is, where it seems like every time there's a big run, you're like, oh, there he is. Okay.
Loving the
pass rush, but there he is.
Bosa setting the edge is a little different than Rousseau setting it.
Right. We haven't really seen it from Rousseau. And kind of to all that, and really I guess this is Rousseau as a player. He's very inconsistent. Talented, but very inconsistent. Because we mentioned it, and this is a few months ago now, his game against Arizona, the opener last year.
He has 3 sacks.
He gets a ton of his production in that first game. He then goes off kind of for a little while of not really doing much at all. I think for like the next 5 or 6 weeks, he doesn't even have a sack. He gets going then towards the end of the year. He's one of your better pass rushers. However, it kind of all falls apart in the AFC Championship. I get a little worried that another talented but inconsistent player in Ed Oliver will have the one great game against Baltimore where you're like, ah, without him, Josh Allen plays great. I don't think you're coming back. Like, he just has a ton of nice stats in the fourth quarter, but they don't win. Ed Oliver's focal point. He is instrumental in that comeback. I have started to get a little worried that I'm like, is it just going to be the Rousseau-Arizona game where he comes back and you're like, there's the Ed Oliver we've all had issues with for years.
I think there is one way to try to talk you down from that. And that is that we have seen Ed Oliver have a star season before. Greg Rousseau has always been on the cusp of things. Never had a star output season for his position. We have seen it from Ed Oliver. So, there's my saving grace. Also because Daquan Jones is playing some of his best football next to Ed Oliver that year. If Deion Walker's playing that kind of football, or if Daquan Jones has kind of found some of the magic again, hey, I can easily see Ed Oliver coming back into the game and wrecking stuff like he did in week 1. And that's good to see. Maybe it's just Ed getting the consistency issues fixed up for himself. Maybe it's Ed just had a really tough time last year. I don't know which.
Yeah, because like to equal measures, Greg Rousseau being dominant in that Arizona game. I mean, I remember doing the show last year with Josh Schmidt, and we were both, after week 1, going, yeah, Ed's a non-factor. I don't know what happened. Like, he's being double-teamed, but, like, this is not – he's kind of a non-factor for all of that game. And sadly, it did continue for much of the season.
I will say.
Up until late.
You mentioned the double-teams. Deion Walker having the size that he does presents an interesting problem for teams.
Mm-hmm.
You have to double Deion Walker, or you're doubling Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Because he's more penetrative. So, that's going to be the next step to Deion Walker in his campaign for a rookie season right now. If Ed Oliver's on the field and you're not getting double teamed, can you beat that single? Please do.
Please do.
And, if an offensive line and run scheme dares to single team Ed Oliver right now, I'm imagining that we're going to have some fun with that.
I mean, that's the hope, and that's where, you know, the cavalry coming, you know, quote unquote, the cavalry coming back. You'll get Hoyt, Ogunjobi, guys getting healthier. We're already starting to see that from yesterday with the limited returns to practice. That's the hope, is that all of a sudden now they've got
their full complement.
They've got, you know, pieces to play with, and that, you know, looking, we'll look back on this season or later on in the season, in November or whatever, we'll look back at this month and go, yeah, I mean, they just didn't have Hoyt. You know, Oliver was hurt. That's what really hurt him in the run game. Or, you know, they, you know, Bosa was still trying to come back, what have you. Or I know I've seen the reports, although he's not receiving treatment, so I kind of don't love bringing it up because I think it really gets to an excuse level. But Greg Rousseau might be in with a bone bruise.
I have to say, yeah, if you're not getting treatment, if you're not on the injury report, then it's not what I would call a validated excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but that's the cruel world that we live in. For me, it still comes down to there is a way to beat Ed Oliver. And it often is. He's quick to get off the snap, and you can trap him. He gets too far upfield, the Kyle Williams effect
mm-hmm.
that we'd seen during the drought era where Williams is bursting into a backfield, but then, oh, just create your blocking schemes to be cutback and zone-based so that when Kyle Williams is already 2 yards in the backfield, the rest of the defense hasn't caught up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens with Ed Oliver. Oliver will get quick into a backfield, you trap him, and he's erased from the play. And it turns into a massive B-gap issue where Oliver's already up the field. They're going to attack the B-gap because he's already up the field. I can then make my blockers attack the linebackers, cut back lane, and there we go. I don't think he'll be in for this game against the Patriots, but I'm very excited to see when he comes back.
Yeah, when they do get him back at full go.
At minimum, poor Carolina. What did they do to deserve this?
I mean, even Atlanta. Atlanta might be the team also that deals with that.
But I'm saying at minimum.
At minimum, yeah.
Because he's starting to practice now, and if he goes through the bye week and he's ready for Carolina, oh, and Hoyt and Ogunjobi are activated by then? What did the Panthers do to deserve this?
Right, because then you can just kind of throw the kitchen sink, get guys reps. I mean, look what they did with Cole Bishop, though, in terms of getting him reps. I mean, it's worked out really well so far. 803-0550, the number to call. Did throw up on Twitter. What are your nerve levels for the Patriots this Sunday? Richard tweets in, honestly, it does depend on how the Bills play. If it's last week's team that shows up, they're losing. I don't really disagree with that. Like, we've mentioned a lot, and Derek, you've kind of coined the phrase, like, their C game or the C-plus game. That can't keep showing up. If it does keep showing up, eventually you will get a team who maybe has a better quarterback, like Drake May, who can take advantage of your shortcomings. I don't disagree. Yeah, if it's last week's team, maybe not losing, but it all of a sudden gets to a point of, yeah, but in the fourth quarter, Allen's got to make a freak play and stuff like that.
And that's where I don't necessarily agree with the take either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily straight up saying it's wrong, but I also have to look at the Patriots and go, they don't give you the same game every week either.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a guarantee to come out with their best stuff. They could put up their week one effort against the Raiders where they don't score 14 points against the Vegas defense, or they get so turnover happy that they lose a game to the Steelers. What team capitalizes on mistakes more than anyone, even on their C game? It's the Bills. Be it a roughing the kicker mm-hmm. or an ill-timed interception or a weird play call at the red zone threatening to take the lead before halftime when the run game was doing just fine. If New England makes a mistake like that, the Bills take advantage. Or, ready? An ill-timed fumble in the fourth quarter during a frantic comeback attempt. The Bills take advantage of your mistakes. New England is 2-2 because they make mistakes.
They do make a ton. Yeah.
And the Bills, outside of Josh Allen just trying to get them out of their own back of the field, and nothing's working, so he sends a deep ball, and Sanker makes the interception. It's the first real mistake that Allen's made, and it was also forced. But the Bills also do not allow a touchdown on that drive.
Mm-hmm.
So as inconsistent as the defense has been, they show up at opportune times too.
At least in the regular season.
When we are watching it, mm-hmm. and it's hell mm-hmm. itself, in the yep. first quarter of that game against New Orleans, the offense then stalls. And the defense shows up. So, could they have pulled away in that game? Yes. because the defense started showing up and started making some stops when they needed to, quite frankly. It was tough to watch, but they did it. And I think that's the same thing against New England here. If New England cannot throw or cannot run the football effectively, even against Buffalo, well, let's see what that number one ranked passing defense really means.
Right. Does it actually hold water or not?
Does it hold water mm-hmm. because they're good at it, or does it hold water because teams just run the football on them?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Chris is up first this segment. Chris, how are we doing?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I think this is probably the scariest game for me after the Baltimore game. Mm-hmm. I just feel like with Miami and the Saints, they seemed a little too casual. I know they got the firepower. I know they don't come out on purpose as casual, but I just see this on the road. If the Bills don't bring their A game, this could be one of those upset games. So, and I don't understand why Ed Oliver's not back. Like, really, like, stepping on a foot, unless he broke the top of his foot, like a bone bruise shouldn't take.
Well, I mean, he was limping. It probably could be a sprain or something like that. I mean, he has been limping for a few weeks here.
Yeah. Who stepped on his foot, though? Like, was it Shakir? Like, if it's
Shakir,
we
have no idea.
We will never know.
We have no idea. I mean, they did make jokes yesterday with the media because the rumor there for a little while is that a horse stepped on him, which I thought was hysterical. If that actually happened, but no, we're probably not going to know, but he did get his foot stepped on and he was limping for a few weeks here. He still kind of is. I mean, that's where Sal mentioned with the morning guys that he's limited, but he's the most questionable of the three guys that all returned to practice.
Yeah. All right. Maybe if it's Spencer Brown on with cleats, yeah, that would hurt, I guess.
That one would hurt.
So yeah.
6'7", 320, yeah. It's gonna hurt. Chris, thanks for the call, man. Yeah,
we're never gonna find out who did that.
We're never gonna find out. I enjoyed though that they had a little bit of a laugh about it. I hope, and again, we'll never know. I need it to be a horse though.
No.
Only because I want him to have to gone into work and them going, Ed, we've talked about this.
No.
Ed, we've talked about this.
That's the thing. I don't want passions stripped from people just because a horse got clumsy.
It's Ed Oliver. That passion's never going away.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just going to sit there and go, dude, come on.
Ready? I don't want that to even be called into question. No, I hope that it wasn't a horse because, A, it would make sense that he's out for that long, mm-hmm. but also, B, no, my theory is Taylor Rapp. Anyway.
My theory. Because your theory with Rapp is that just he's involved of like any friendly fire things on the field. Nine happens to be there every time. I feel bad for Rapp.
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago, Taylor Rapp is a really fun safety
right.
that you love to have. 2025 Taylor Rapp, you look at him and you're just like, just please slow down just a little bit.
Friendly fire will not be tolerated.
Taylor Rapp might be Coy Wire, but faster.
Maybe.
There's your drought reference for the day.
803-0550, the number to call. Level of nerves for the Patriots. Love to hear your thoughts. We get to see your tweets as well as your phone calls. And Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock for more on the Bills' injuries and what to expect for today. Also did mention we got to get to some of that Sabres news. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen leaving last night's game with an injury. Lower body appears to be the same injury he had been dealing with all offseason. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the North.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Town Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Our number one continues to roll along here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We can get and connect to our fans when we do so. It is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go back to the phones here. Jimmy is up next. Jimmy, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking the call. I know you were talking about the edge rushers and Joey Bosa. I know he's not, you know, he's a shadow of his former self when he was in his prime, really. He's still a good player, and he's not as twitchy as he was, you know, when he first came out. But that strip that he had at the end of the game on Spencer Rattler, I mean, his arms are so long. He reached in there. He stripped the ball. The thing that drove me crazy was A.J. Epenesa. And I don't know if you guys talked about this. I'm sorry, I haven't been listening the last couple of days. But him celebrating when he didn't even sack Rattler and the ball is rolling around on the ground. Bosa had stripped it from Rattler. And he's celebrating like signaling to the bench something like, look at me, look what I did, and the ball's rolling around on the ground. That absolutely drove me crazy. The other thing that, you know, I don't worry about the defense as much, but the only thing that really worries me is the safety play. I know Bishop had a great play, but he was out of position. Luckily, and that one Brandon Cooks, when he didn't come up with a catch, Bishop falls down, and Rattler just threw a horrible pass. He was wide open in the end zone. It just seems like he's out of position sometimes. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about the Epenesa thing. And, you know, and I know everybody's calling in about the safeties from the last few weeks, but just wondered what you think about Bishop. Even though he made a great play, I don't know if, you know, if he's all there yet with what he's doing. But thanks, guys. That's all I had.
Yeah, Jimmy, thanks for the call. And, no, you're 100% right. I mean, it's his second year. It's, I think, his sixth total start.
He still has some work to do.
We talked with Sal about that yesterday, and that's 100% correct. He's still getting going. You like to see, though, the confidence building, the big plays coming. He has a sack as well to go along with
the athleticism.
Yeah.
Is showing.
You like that? On the Epenesa thing, that is funny. I kind of had the same feeling. Like, he doesn't know the ball's on the ground.
Yeah,
he has no idea the ball's on the ground.
That is the simple answer for you there, by the way, Jimmy, is that A.J. doesn't know the ball's on the ground. He smacked the quarterback on fourth down.
By the way.
And thinks that he has a sack. Like, I totally understand why he thinks he has the sack. He hit the quarterback, and that's his job, and he still thinks the football's there. And either way, it's a fourth down stop. Look at me go. And I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm not as bothered by that. I will say it is the inconsistency from the entirety of the defensive end group that is definitely worth your concern. But yeah, that play, it's just a funny little how it happens sort of thing. Like, he's so focused on doing his job, he doesn't know that the football is out, and that sometimes happens with fumbles. That's why there are sometimes fortunate recoveries. That's why these things happen, because a player's just doing his job. And if he even pauses for a second to see if the football is out, there might be a different story, because then does he think, oh, Joey Bosa's got this, so I'm going to slow up? And then say Bosa doesn't hit the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting creamed in the film room for that then.
By the way, real quick on the yet, Bosa gets credit with that sack. Does he now have 3 forced fumbles on the year?
No, Zach. He has tied his second best totals in his career in 4 games. He has 4. He has awesome. 4.
Good for him.
His career best is 2021, where he forced 7 in 16 games.
Wow.
He's already at 4 in 4 weeks.
Wow.
This trajectory, he's forcing 17. Let's go.
Yeah, he's forcing 17.
He's on pace for 17 forced fumbles, which would be wild. That's not going
to
happen.
If he somehow got to 7 like he did in 21, a hell of a year.
If he even gets to 6.
Right.
That's worth the contract that you gave him.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more on the Bills' injuries from yesterday and what to expect from today. Practice starting for the Bills at 11:30. Sal Capaccio will join the show next. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.